to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is when you're listening right now. It is Ladies of Liverpool. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Leanne Campbell. I'm your host, of course. Every week a different episode, celebrating everything that's going on in Liverpool, our ladies and our gents. This week, we've got a gentleman that most ladies absolutely love, whether it's from back in the day or you're still following what he's doing right now. He's doing great things for the city. You might know him as Tin Ed, Tim O'Leary, or you might know him as Philip Olivier. But if you don't know much about what he did after Brookside, you're about to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ladies of Liverpool with Philip Olivier.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So we have been jam-packed the last couple of weeks. We've been doing our play and that's finished. So now you get back to the real world.
Yes, back to the grindstone.
Phil, what does the real world look like? In the eyes of Philip Olivier?
The eyes of Philip Olivier, it looks like tourism at the moment.
It does. That's sort of what your day job is now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I bought a company which went into receivership and created the new brand, Liverpool City Sights. So we're the red open-top buses you see in Liverpool.
They're yours? No one knows they're tinheads, do they?
No. I'll keep it on the down low a little bit. But yeah, it's just done. It's created this massive passion inside me. I've always had the passion for the city. You know, I'm like you. We love our city. Yeah. We love everything about it. And this is a great way to showcase it off to people who've never been here before and try and encourage more visitors to come here and just show them it's Liverpool.
So you've got loads of stuff, haven't you? You have like wedding buses and things for people who are looking to get like loads of family members from the church to the venue. You do all that, but there's something a bit special that you've just bought that you can't really do anything with, which must be at the moment like a frig noose around your neck.
God, yeah.
Talk to me about the daffodil.
Well, there was an expression of interest from Mersey Ferries that they were going to decommission the Royal Daffodil.
That's right.
If anyone remembers the boat, it's that one used to be the party boat along the Mersey, like ferries across the Mersey and stuff like that.
Yeah. So how long have been sitting there, Phil?
6 years. It was left dormant in Birkenhead Docks, yeah. So it was left to rot away. And the previous vessel which was decommissioned was the Royal Iris. And this happened so many years before. And a company from London come in to take that on and do a renovation. Anyway, it ran out of money and it's left rotting away somewhere down south in the Thames.
So how did this come onto your radar then?
There was an interest raised to see if anyone wanted to put proposals forward. I already had plans in the past couple of years that I wanted other vessels to do a sort of similar thing because we've got we had the barges on the Albert Dock.
That's right.
So
what were your barges as well for anyone who doesn't know?
The Yellow Sub.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Yeah.
And the Joker, but sadly they're not there anymore. The Albert Dock kind of changed what they wanted in there. They didn't really want commercials and stuff and more houseboats.
Yeah.
Which is kind of more in keeping.
So you're ready to move on to something else because you knew you loved doing stuff like that?
Yeah, and we knew the pitfalls and obviously, you know, we've been in that business before. So when the red light ship went about 3 years ago, it was a shame because, you know, that space there should be animated. It's our docklands at the end of the day. It should have ships there. I know once every blue moon we get the tall ships in and it's nice that we get the, you know, animation there.
Yeah. Because we haven't got, like, Fred the Weatherman's map
exactly
anymore. We needed something to fill that space.
I don't know why they don't bring that back. That's the next project.
I'll work that for you. So you've got this boat.
So, yeah, so Daffodil come up, went to the proposal and said, OK, with this boat, what I'd love to do is I'd love to turn it into, first of all, a restaurant, a hotel, sorry, restaurant, bar on the top level, and then downstairs to be accommodation.
Right.
It's obviously evolved as we've gone on.
Yeah.
Now we're doing a mini museum at the top to dedicate the history of the Mersey Ferries.
Oh, that's fab.
So that's in the bridge. We're going to do the bridge as was, and we've got a lot of stories to tell about that vessel and about the history of the Mersey Ferries. It's been running over 800 years.
Yeah.
Then the floor below will be, we're getting two bars made, which are going to get on that top there, the main deck. They're going to kill me, Karma, who are doing this, because I'm not speaking boat terms.
So we don't know boat terms, so it's good for us.
Perfect. I say the left-hand side, sorry, the port side.
Say Leanne. It's Leanne. She doesn't understand all the lingo. We have to speak like daft. Go on. Talk to me so I understand, yeah.
All right,
so the front of the boat.
The front of the boat.
is where we'll all have a bevy.
Yeah.
And the back of the boat is where we can have a dance.
A little bit of a party as
Love
well.
It.
Perfect.
That's how we understand it, don't we, gang?
But yeah, so then downstairs we decided it was a massive decision to take the engines out.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying keep them in for like heritage status, and it was like, well, it's never going to be used, and it's a great space to open up. So in the end, we got given the permission that we could take the engines out.
Brilliant.
And it's opened up that space massively downstairs. And we've now decided to go for an entertainment space where we could host weddings, hopefully.
So we can hire the Daffodil and have a party?
Yes.
Love it. Love it. So anyone who's just had someone propose to them and you're thinking, what am I going to do? I want to do something different. You're getting the family together for one big party. The Daffodil and the Albert Dock.
Exactly. And it's where it's situated, it's going to be right opposite the Hilton on Canning Dock. And we've opened up all the spaces on the outside. The boat will look as it was historically. And all the outdoor space, we've got an outdoor stage.
It's massive, isn't it?
It's huge.
Yeah.
And that space is just going to open up. And, I hope to do the city proud. You know, we've doubled in budget. We've doubled in time.
You've spent a fortune, haven't
you? I've got grey hair now.
Tell everyone about the Lechy, because I love the fact that you've been dying to go with this since, like, the start of this year, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you can't do nothing with it till next year because you can't get no Lechy to it.
It's all the utilities, yeah. Because the utilities, like the electricity, the water supply, the sewage... Yeah. That's all dependent because we're on one of the busiest roads in Liverpool, mm-hmm. in the Strand, and it means we have to dig up the Strand.
And no one's going to allow you to do that, are they?
No, the council have been all, you know, Joe Anderson, Steve Rotherham, mm-hmm. they've all been on side, and they're really doing everything they can to help us. But obviously with everything that's going on in the city, you've got Churchill Way flyover coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
Their heads must be wrecked.
Yeah.
The way the city's a gridlock at the moment. So once that's out the way, they're going to be putting the utilities in hopefully January, February, which means we'll be able to get in the dock and open up March.
Brilliant.
Corny as it may sound, when the daffodils start being in bloom.
Oh, isn't that
so
perfect?
Will ours.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So get married, April, May, June, get yourself booked in.
Yeah.
Be one of the first brides to step on the daffodil.
Yeah.
That's a claim to fame.
Definitely.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So apart from that, you run a million and one different businesses. You are a businessman, aren't you? You get up in the morning and that's your day job.
Yeah.
So the acting thing you still do, talk to me about that. We've just finished our play. You love doing theatre. What else have you been doing recently?
I've just done another series of Star Cops. I do audio work for Big Finish. It's a big, it's a company which do... They started out doing Doctor Who stories, so mm-hmm. every Doctor Who that was on TV, each Doctor, the first, second, third, fourth. I work with the seventh, Sylvester McCoy,
right.
and his companion Hex, and we just branched into a new series that they've done called Star Cops. I've been doing that. What was the last thing I've done? Oh, a comedy video, which is coming out at Christmas for Comedy Central.
What's that?
Comedy music video. I don't even know
what
I'm saying.
What's your play?
It,
what's your part? Is it a similar character, T. Brookside character, that loads of people will know and love?
I don't even know why they asked me to go on it. It's because it's like comedians, so it's Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So they said, would you be in this like comedy sketch of a boy band? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'd do anything.
Yeah.
I went down there and these are like proper comedians.
You're like me, like, how much? I'll do it.
Exactly. Sell my soul.
The kids need Christmas clothes, count me in. So you're playing a boy band member?
A boy band member.
Wasn't you in something where you were part of the boy band?
Oh yeah, that was Never Forget. Yeah, that was amazing.
The Take That musical?
Yeah.
Now, for someone who can't sing,
oh my god,
you stepped up and you became a member of this boy band on stage.
Yeah, but I only had a few lines, a couple of harmonies. I just hate, you know what I'm like, a achy, breaky bad. I hate singing.
He's so nervous when he has to sing. He goes, I just can't do it. Just sing over me. So you had to obviously sing your harmonies. That's not easy.
It's not easy, but it's not as hard as singing it on your own.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Would you go and tour again with a theatre production? It's hard with the kids, isn't it?
Because that's the only reason why I bought into businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the last play I'd done, which was, I was away for 3 months when my first son was born. Mm. That's what gave me the drive to find something in Liverpool, to keep me rooted to Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that's why the businesses have tied in with the age of my oldest son.
That's it. You adjust to the different stages of the kids, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm getting to that point now where it's like, the kids are coming to age, and like my little lad, who's my eldest, he's year five now, and I'm already thinking, can I still do what I'm doing when he's in secondary school?
Yeah.
Or are the big kids going to buzz off him because his mum's on the radio on the school run? You know, when it becomes not cool anymore?
Yeah.
So everything you do does evolve around the kids, keeping them happy, keeping them safe.
Yeah.
So you've got three boys.
Yeah.
Do they all have totally different personalities?
Totally different personalities.
How old are they? Talk me through the lads.
Oscar's five. He's just like an angel child. We went to a parents' even the other day, goes to Liverpool College, and they couldn't speak highly of him,
That's
which was amazing.
Fab, isn't it?
Sonny Ray on the other
side. This is your second.
On the second, yes.
We've talked about this before in the podcast. Oh. Your second child should come with a warning, shouldn't it?
What is
they're
going
like little
on?
Firecrackers, yeah. Aren't they? So what's the difference, go on, personality-wise?
God, Sonny Ray, he just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He'll like, you tell him off, he'll punch you in the face. It's like, we've given the same upbringing as Oscar. It's like, what is going on? And then the new one, Phoenix, we're working out his personality at the moment.
How old is he?
He's only two, just turned. Yeah.
But he's trying to keep up with the elder boys, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. And he's a bit of a late talker as well. The other two were like talking early on.
That's common, isn't it? Because you don't have to talk.
Exactly. They speak for him,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Phil.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So we all remember Tin Ed in Brookie with Jennifer Ellison, with Emily Chadwick. So we saw that romance and it was lovely. In real life, talk us through the love of your life. Our Amy's got to get a mention.
Yeah, Amy. Yeah, I've been with Amy now 6 years. She's amazing. She's a female version of me. So
that's why it works?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So she business-minded? Because people are often shocked, I think, when they find that. They think when you're an actor, they put you in a little box, don't they?
Yeah.
And when you break that mould, people are quite shocked that you've done other things. So with you, when people find out that you've got these businesses, you keep them ticking over, you do run a lot of them. On your own.
Yeah.
We'll be doing rehearsals and stuff for plays and Phil will go, I've got to go. Someone's moving into this apartment and I've got to go and change the sheets and empty the bins.
Yeah.
You are hands-on with your businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Amy like that in that sense? Is she...
No, she's just, obviously with three boys, she's full-time mum.
Because
she was a carer. And she was a carer for her uncle who sadly passed away a few years ago. But she wants to get back into work because once your kids are grown up, you know, she gets bored. But
yeah.
There's just
with three boys.
No time at the moment. And she helps me out quite a lot as well because, you know, people even say every successful man has a strong woman behind them.
Correct.
Or vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
It takes two to, especially the work I do and the amount of time I spend away from home.
And the unpredictability of the hours.
Exactly. And she's there as my little rock, basically.
She does support you, doesn't she, massively with everything you do.
Yeah.
I bet, though, when she's at home with the kids... Ed is West.
I don't know how she does it. She went away on a couple of days with her friends, left me the kids for 2 days. So I was like, you know, you're normally working 12, 13-hour days. And I was like, get me back into work any day. Oh my God.
I've got so much respect for women and men who decide, you know, their role, or it's not their decision, it just happens to be that way. And that's their role. Their role is to just bring up the kids and keep the house going and to do that. I know you do that.
It's a bit of a lonely role as well, to be honest, you know.
I think you do that when you're working as well,
you
know, as much as we put the hours in. I think there's no easy option.
No.
But I think when you haven't got that breakaway to have conversations about something other than the kids, that must be really hard. So you've sort of got a duty of care in that sense, haven't you, Phil, to come home and pick her up a little
exactly,
bit.
Exactly, I mean, because, it is tough for her sometimes. But like I said, now that Phoenix is two and he's just started nursery, she's got a little bit of a life back. She's seeing her friends and stuff like that. So if you're listening, Amy...
We love you,
we
Amy.
We love you.
Ladies of Liverpool.
When Brookside ended
and
you get that call to say, right, this is how the script's going, the whole thing's coming to an end, how did that hit you? Because how long were you in Brookside?
8 years. I'm trying to think back.
It's a huge, like, almost like a... I had Jess Ellis on last week and she was talking about when Hollyoaks called her in and said, right, your character after similar amount of time, she's going to get squashed by a tree. And she moved her whole life to Liverpool and all of a sudden that's it, you're getting written out with your film and your final scenes and that's it.
Oh.
How did it affect you?
Two years before it was finishing, I was told by Phil Redmond he was going to get rid of me. So that was a shock to the system. Remember that being total shock and what they would do. And then all of a sudden, 3 months, he had a total turnaround and said, no, all right, I'm going to get rid of your family and keep you.
Oh.
I just didn't want to keep a kid on their own. And I don't know whether that made me hardened at the time.
Yeah, so you just took every day as it came then after that.
So at that moment, I remember looking at other jobs. I was getting offers of other things. Because at that time, I remember, it was just four channels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always all over the place doing PAs. I didn't really know what was going on. And then when they finished it, I was a little bit gutted, but I was excited to see, right, I'm a young lad, I can go to London, I can do all these different things. Remember, I'd done my first play with you.
How many years ago was that?
That was just after Brookside finished.
Was it? Was that long ago?
Brookside finished 2003, but it must have been about 2008.
Yeah.
A few years, but after, sorry. One
I
of my
didn't think I had,
after.
I didn't have R. Joseph or anything then. We were playing husband and wife in this play and you were
in jail, and you were a nervous wreck, weren't you?
Oh, just... my God, yeah. Only because you've done TV all the time. So yeah. you're always go, yeah, I've got another chance at this, another chance at this. And I was pacing up and down. You were like, you're right, Phil. I'm like, no, I'm not. So what happens if we mess up? Oh, what do we do? Can we go again?
We're covering it up. But by the end of that, I remember you saying, I've got like a real hunger for it now.
Oh, my God. More so than TV, yeah.
Yeah, you were like, this is what I need to be doing. I love theatre. Yeah.
And that's why we're now with all these businesses, it's like, if I don't do stage at least one time a year, it kind of keeps me sane. I mean, I do it for free, although don't tell any of the producers of that.
I wouldn't spread that rumour now. No, we need some money. You definitely need some money. But I know what you mean. Because people go to me, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? Still working at 10 o'clock at night? And unless you've got that theatre bug...
Yeah.
It's like an insatiable hunger, isn't it? And you're like, when you go and watch a play and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs going, I want to be that part. Yeah. I want to do that. Yeah. I want to wear that costume. I need to be part of that. And it's a buzz, isn't it? It's like an adrenaline buzz that nothing else compares to.
Not satisfies it, really.
No. Yeah. And when you're comfy with a cast like we've been in the past and you're with a gang of good people, it is almost that tribe mentality, you're all in it together, you all fail together or you all succeed together.
And they're the exciting times when we do fail on stage and we try it.
That's even me and him who never actually lay in the lines, not on the page. We do like our own versions.
Yeah, we improv, don't we? We've got the guidelines.
I like the thrill of it. So you went on, you've done theatre and stuff. But at the time when Brookie ended, it was all about, because I remember years and years and years ago when you were, you know, Tinhead. Yeah. I can imagine you couldn't move in the city without someone shouting, Tinhead!
And girls
like mobbing you and fancying you. And growing up with that, how does it affect you?
Well, it was mad because, I mean, obviously at the time, I was just taking it as it comes. I was getting flown everywhere. I was earning a lot of money, you know, which has helped me invest now.
Back in the day,
But little did they know, if someone would have told me at the age of 15, you're going to be still getting called Tinhead at the age of 40, I would have went, what? So even supermarkets, and when you've got some, I know the age back at Ooh Watch, Brooks said, you've got to be over 30, 35 to remember me, do you know?
Yeah.
And then when you've got someone going like 22-year-olds or whatever, and like, that's because your mum's told you, and now it's still like slowly spreading, if you know what I mean.
But like you say, back then there weren't that many channels, so people were fully invested.
Yeah.
And they believed, you know, a lot of people... beliefs. Was that Billy Clements on?
Okay, yeah.
A while ago now, and we were laughing about the fact that people actually believed she was a bully in real life, and she's had people shouting abuse at her across the street and stuff like that. So did you find when you were in the thick of Brookside, people actually believed that you were that character?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name? Tim?
Tinhead. Oh, Tim O'Leary.
Tim O'Leary, there you go. So did people actually believe that you were the little naughty lad up to no good?
Yeah, well, there's a few cases where I even had this woman. Do you remember, what was the club called? The Conti?
Yeah, the Conti.
So I was in there one time. I was with Nick Picard. He'll tell the story. And this woman's going, you've done that to that woman. This old woman with a handbag. And I was like, I was only 17. I know I shouldn't have been in there.
He was nearly 18. She belted you?
Yeah, belted me. Nick was laughing his head off. He didn't know what to do. And I was like, oh my God, we all got off in a rush. But don't get me wrong, it's only some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to call what them people are, but
no. But it happens, doesn't it? People can believe what they see on the telly, about it all the time. So when it came to, I imagine, when you were younger, when it came to dating and trying to get out into the world like any normal 18-year-old lad, that must have been hard.
It was hard as well. I mean, I was in a relationship which I shouldn't really have been in, which is a bit silly, and I wasn't the best of lads as well, to be fair.
Yeah,
but you know, I had all them temptations in life, and I was, like I said, I was living out of a suitcase.
Yeah.
I was all over the place, especially when Brookside finished. They're just, honestly, different countries, different cities, different places.
I love that you're dead honest about that.
Yeah. Well, you grow and you change, don't you? Yeah. So, you know.
And you look back and you're not proud of certain things.
Not proud. And that's what makes you a better man or a better woman, whatever you kind of, you don't class them as mistakes, you class them as lessons, really.
So you're out and about at that time and you've constantly got your top off because everyone wanted a picture of you with no clothes on.
And they still ask it now. I'm like, listen, those days are gone.
There's nothing but galaxies and minstrels under this top, love.
I'm a dad now.
That's it. Dad bod all the way. Yeah. So what's next for you?
Well, to be honest, I can't take anything for the next 6 months.
Because of the daffodil?
Because of the daffodil. I mean, it's so intense and I really want to make the city proud.
Yeah.
I've invested a lot of time, a lot of money, and I want to see it through and make this a picture postcard moment for Liverpool. You know, I can see this being part of that waterfront for 30, 40 years.
Oh, this is going to be your lads.
Yeah, exactly.
Your legacy to hand to your boys.
Yeah, it's also, you know, we want to animate that space and I can see it like, you know, the tower is part of the picture postcard now.
Yeah.
I want this to be as well.
Yeah.
And so it should be with the history of the Merseyferries because people don't really know, apart from if you're outside of Liverpool, they don't know the history of the ferries and why it's given the royal status. There's so much into it, and we will dedicate that in the museum above. But once this is open in March, it's just like any business. You get it set up again, and then I'll be back on the phone to my agent going, listen, I've got a bit of free time now, so put me,
get me on the stage,
again.
Get me on the telly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do everything we can to support you. So if you're passing, ladies and gentlemen, and you want to pop in for a drink, you see it up and running, go in, say hello, make it work. We can do that as a city. We can all back you with this.
Come on.
Come on.
Thank you so much, Leanne.
Pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.